All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another episode of the Jim Fear 138 podcast. I want to extend a special apology specifically to Cloud Cuckoo Country and Emperor Tiger Star. I was supposed to have them as guests on last week's podcast and this week's podcast, respectively, but shit just kept coming up. Shit just kept getting in the fucking way, man. Like I had one of the girls at work quit, so I've been pulling overtime for the past, you know, well, I would have been pulling overtime this week if not for the holiday, but last week it was, you know, about a 50-hour week. Add in, like, 12 hours for the commute, and then a couple more hours for working, and then the rest of the time is just taken up by sleep, so I really didn't have time for any kind of shit, anything that I really wanted to do. I didn't have time to clean. I barely had time to work on audiobooks or the podcast or anything. So we'll get it banged out, guys. Don't worry about it. I definitely want you guys as guests on the podcast again. It's a lot of fun talking with you guys, and I don't want to stiff you like that. It's just life is getting in the fucking way right now. I mean, you know, we had Thanksgiving, like I said, work, and then everything around here at my house has just kind of started to fall apart at once. So that's been, you know, a lot of fucking fun. You know, we couldn't even have a traditional Thanksgiving this year because of the problems that were going on with this goddamn building. You know, everything just kind of started to fall apart at once. We have a lot of plumbing problems and shit like that. We've had to dump, like, 6 bottles of acid down our pipes within the past 2 weeks. It's just not been a fun time over here, guys. But I'm going to put out the podcast because you got to stick to a weekly schedule. Even if it's shit, it's better to put out something that's shit than not at all. It's like in college when they tell you that you should show up and take the test anyway, or that you should turn in that half-finished paper anyway, because it's better to get a 30 or a 50 than a 0. That's kind of the mentality that I'm taking with these past couple of weeks of podcasts, because honestly, if it had been up to me, I would have just, I don't know, slept, probably. But you gotta put in the work. That's what they keep telling me. You gotta put in the work. I mean, fuck, Aaron Clary has been doing this for 10 years now, something like that, and he's just up to where he is. He hasn't even been doing his podcast that long. He's just been, like, blogging and shit, which I need to write more shit for my website. This is just going to be the me bagging on myself hour. Now, I got some fun stuff that I do want to talk about, because it's been politics for, like, the past 3 weeks, and I'm just kind of tired of it. I'm tired of fucking everybody. It's still fun to talk about that stuff. I still enjoy talking about politics, but eventually it just gets to the point where, like, my past 3 podcasts have just been about politics and nothing else. So this podcast, we're going to talk about something fun. So I wanted to recommend to you guys a couple of things that I've been getting into. Oh, so far as stuff on the website goes, I've got to finish this audiobook for Aaron. I expected to have it done by Thanksgiving. That didn't fucking pan out. Just like I said, work got in the way. Life got in the way. The fucking holidays got in the way. So now that the holidays are fucking over and I don't have to worry about shit for a month, I can just get this fucking done. After I get done with Aaron's audiobook, I'm going to go back to working on the fucking H.P. Lovecraft anthology, which I still have a couple of stories to record for that one. I haven't had time to actually go sit down and record that shit. But then I'll send it off to Bucket, and he'll get it sounding all nice, and then we'll get that edited up and put out for you guys. But one thing that I did want to recommend to you guys, if you're on Audible, this is a really, really good... I've really been getting into H.P. Lovecraft again, man. Like, I listened to this, I think it's like the SFF audio podcast, and basically what they do is, if the story's kind of short, then they'll present the story, and then they'll get a panel of people together and talk about it. And the guy's like a college professor, so he's knowledgeable about the subject. And they get like Wayne June, who recently did a bunch of Lovecraft stories and did the voice for Darkest Dungeon, which is pretty cool. I still haven't played that one yet. It sounds like an awesome game, but I don't really, between all of the audiobooks that I'm fucking buying and all of the books and shit like that for the Appendix N stuff, I just don't have the fucking money to buy video games right now. I'll just play Civ 5 and and Endless Legend. But this one is a really, really fucking good anthology of Lovecraft stories called Necronomicon. Let me find the fucking thing. And of course, my fucking keyboard isn't working. Because why fucking would it? Okay, had to go to the fucking gas station. Got new fucking batteries. Let's see if we can't get my goddamn keyboard to work. This thing is pretty old. I've had it for a couple of years, so maybe it's just not as good as it used to be. Oh, wait, it's lighting up. It's lighting up. Put the panel back on. Come on now. Okay, despite my keyboard absolutely fucking crapping out of me, like I said, everything fucking fell apart here at once, guys. Hey, this has just been a rough couple of weeks here. My whole fucking house seems to just be falling apart on me. We're having to shell out all kinds of fucking money to get everything working properly again. But hopefully, my brother and I are going to be out of here in a couple of months. He finally got hired on at his job. He's not a temp no more. Hopefully, we're going to be getting the fuck out of here a month or two. I'll keep you posted. But, so, this thing that I wanted to recommend to you guys, it's just called Necronomicon. It's a bunch of H.P. Lovecraft stories. And it's good shit. It's good shit. I'm not even gonna fucking lie. It's got a bunch of different narrators. It's got don't
tell anybody, but I don't recognize none of these fucking people.
It's got Paul Michael Garcia, Bronson Pinchot, Stephen R. Thorne, Keith Zarabajka. I hope I pronounced that right. That looks Polish. I don't really know how to pronounce that. Zarabajka. That's what it looks like. Szarabajka. Yeah. So sorry if I mispronounced your name, dude. Adam Werner. Tom Weiner. Or Wiener. Patrick Cullen. And those are the narrators. Produced by Blackstone Audio, which I haven't heard a single Blackstone Audio book that I have not thoroughly fucking enjoyed. They're like Hachette Audio. Just like, that's one of those companies that, you know, even if the story isn't all that great, the product that you're getting is still gonna be really fucking good because they put it together. Like, Blackstone and Hachette are two companies that I've come to put a lot of stock in. Like, if I played the stock market, I would buy stock in those two companies. If they're publicly traded. I don't know if they are. I guess I'll have to see. Maybe I'll take a class on how to buy and sell stocks, and I'll get me some stock in some audio companies, because the audiobooks are the wave of the future, guys. And I'm not just harping on this point because I'm an audiobook producer. They are the wave of the future, man. Like, for example, one book that I'm reading right now, and this book I'm going to get into later. I'm not going to tell you what it is right now. I'm going to get into it later. But this book, I am so fucking angry. Hang on. I'm so fucking pissed that this book doesn't have an audiobook yet. But in a way, I'm of two minds about it because, you know, one, I have the opportunity to do the audiobook for it. But two, I really fucking want to read this book, and I would kill to fucking have an audiobook that I could just listen to at work. Like, there's thousands of people out there like that work just menial jobs like I do, and they really just want something to keep their mind entertained while they're on the job. And if your book isn't in audio, it fucking needs to be. It absolutely needs to be. You need to get the Kindle, you need to get the paperback, and you need to get the audio version done. Even if, come to me. I work for royalties too, guys. I'm not just the guy who you just pay a one lump sum to and he does the fucking audio, but I will work for royalties. Go through ACX, create a rights holder account, post your story over there, get in touch with me, and we'll fucking make this happen. I do work for royalties. My entire work on the Catherine Kimbridge Chronicles, most of my audiobook work this year has been royalty stuff. The only person who's actually paid me physical money to do his audiobooks and not get royalties off of it is Aaron Clary. I've done one audiobook this year that I'm not, that I actually got paid for properly. I work for royalties. I'm trying to get my name out there. I'm trying to get a stream of passive income out there. And the more audiobooks that I do for royalties, the more passive income streams that I am able to generate in the future. Because, you know, I'm not planning on stopping anytime soon, and I'm not planning on diminishing my web presence at all. So I only have growth potential at this point. So not only will people come to it just for your good writing and for your reputation, they'll also come to it on my reputation, because I'm a damn good narrator. And that is something that I fucking take pride in, and I feel I deserve to take pride in it, because I've spent a lot of fucking time acquiring the skills and perfecting the skills to do audiobooks well. And I shit on myself, and I'm self-deprecating enough. I'm allowed to take pride in something, and my craft is what I fucking take pride in, and I'm damn good at it. You know, backwoods country boy from South Carolina gets better sound quality than fucking professional studios. Yeah, I take pride in my fucking work. But anyway, back to this fucking thing. So I've been listening to the SFF audio podcast. Let me make sure that that's the right thing. I got my phone over here with the Purdcast app, the iTunes. God damn it. Leave it to me to enter in the wrong fucking password to get into my own goddamn phone, ain't it? Yeah, the SFF audio podcast. So there's some really good discussion about stuff like that. They do some Robert E. Howard. They did an interview with Wayne June, who, like I said earlier, he's the guy who did the voiceover for Darkest Dungeon. And they do a lot of H.P. Lovecraft. The most recent ones were Ex Oblivion and The Thing on the Doorstep. And listening to that shit, man, I have really been wanting to listen to some fucking Lovecraft. So I bought this audiobook a while back just because I fucking love H.P. Lovecraft. Or maybe I got this one in a sale or something. I don't remember. But it's got all these narrators, and I've gone through enough of them at this point. I started listening to it today. I got about, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours into it. And there's enough there to make it absolutely fucking worth it. I can say, you know, without reservation, that this is worth your money. So, yeah, and thank you to Mike, the reviewer, just goes by Mike, who left this on 6/23/16. This has bugged me for a while. Sometimes you just want to listen to a specific story. For the life of me, I can't understand why anthologies like this aren't broken into chapters, or at least labeled in the descriptions. This should help with that. The numbers might be off by a second or two, but we'll get you to the beginning of each story. So, in this, there is Dagon, Herbert West Reanimator, The Lurking Fear, The Rats in the Walls, The Whisperer in the Darkness, Cool Air, In the Vault, The Call of Cthulhu, The Color Out of Space, The Horror at Red Hook, The Music of Eric Zahn, The Shadow Out of Time. He really liked to put the at the top of his story titles, didn't he? Just the thing. It's the thing. It's always the thing with H.P. Lovecraft. The Dunwich Horror, The Haunter of the Dark, The Outsider, The Shunned House, The Unnameable, The Thing on the Doorstep, and Under the Pyramids, which was actually ghostwritten for Harry Houdini, if I remember right. But, so it's a really good collection of stories, and the narrators are really fucking good. They really know what they're fucking doing. I wish that, like, the guy who read The Whisperer in the Darkness, I wish I knew the guy's name. He did a fucking phenomenal job. His reading can be kind of flat sometimes. Like, I would have put a lot more emotion into it, because most Lovecraft stories, you don't really have to work that hard to turn a Lovecraft story into an audio drama. You just have to put emotion into the narration, because a lot of his stories are told from first-person perspectives. Like, Dagon, Herbert West, The Lurking Fear, Rats in the Walls, Whisper in Darkness, and Cool Air are all told from a first-person perspective. So really, all you have to do is, if you're really into that shit, just put on a voice and put some fucking emotion into your performance, and boom, you're golden. You know, maybe add some background music and sound effects, and you're good. It's an audio drama. But the guy who did Whisper in Darkness really fucking impressed me. He did a lot of, well, not a lot, because there aren't really a lot of opportunities for different voices, but he did several different voices over the course of the story, and it was just really impressive the way that he brought it all together. Like I say, his reading was kind of flat emotionally at certain points, but it's not horrible. It's like I say, it really impressed me. So I highly recommend this shit, but I've just been on a fucking Lovecraft kick, man. Like ever since I read, this is how I got into fucking Lovecraft. I was really into Metallica in high school, and this seems like how many degrees of separation can you get to? But I was really into Metallica in high school, and I was really into reading biographies of performers and bands. So I've got like Iron Maiden, Jim Morrison, like A Complete History of Heavy Metal, you know, Motley Crue's autobiography. And I've got one over there for Metallica. And it spends a fair amount of time talking about Cliff Burton. And one of the things that it mentioned that really influenced Metallica's music was the writing of H.P. Lovecraft. Cliff Burton was a huge H.P. Lovecraft fan. Well, Cliff Burton was my favorite member of Metallica before he died. And as far as I'm concerned, everything after the third album is like, there's Kill 'Em All, Ride the Lightning, and Master of Puppets, and everything after that is subpar. You could just listen to the first three Metallica albums and you would be good. That's their best shit right there. That's not to say that the other shit isn't good. You listen to covers or live performances of the stuff off And Justice for All, and it's really good. The songs are really fucking good. But it doesn't have that Cliff Burton to it. I'm prejudiced like that. But Cliff really liked H.P. Lovecraft. So I was like, all right, well, if Cliff liked him, then it can't be all bad, and it influenced some of my favorite Metallica songs, so fuck it, I'll go check out H.P. Lovecraft. So I went and bought an anthology, and the first story I ever read was The Rats in the Walls. And after that, I was fucking addicted to H.P. Lovecraft. And I don't care how many fucking times I read his stories, like every 2 years or so, I will go on a binge and just devour H.P. Lovecraft stories over and over and over again. You know, I start to get the itch. So someone who's been an alcoholic for like 40 years, and they finally just stop drinking. And then like every couple of years, they're just like, all right, well, I'll just have a couple of glasses of scotch and, you know, watch Doctor Strangelove or Casablanca or something like that. You know, just to kind of take the edge off. You know, you don't drink like you used to, but every once in a while, you know, you go on a fucking bender. And that's what I fucking do with H.P. Lovecraft. I just go on a fucking H.P. Lovecraft bender every couple of years. And I don't care. I've already read, like, all of his stories. It doesn't matter. They're still badass. They're still fucking awesome. And I love reading. They really get down to that fucking heart. Nobody else really touches H.P. Lovecraft. Like, yeah, Stephen King can write a terrifying story, but he's not anywhere near as good as H.P. Lovecraft was. You know, it's a Bow to the Master, Kiss the Ring situation. So I was listening to the SFF audio podcast, and they got me back into fucking H.P. Lovecraft. But, like, I don't understand why people have to bring up the fucking racism and sexism and blah, 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 blah that H.P. Lovecraft engaged in every fucking time we discuss him. Every single time anybody ever discusses H.P. Lovecraft, the very first thing, it's perfunctory at this point. It's just, okay, well, so we know he was racist and sexist, and yes, the cat in The Rats in the Walls was named Nigger Man, and it's horrible, and he was a bad person because of this, but let's go ahead and talk about stop! Just fucking stop, okay? We all know that H.P. Lovecraft was a racist. We fucking get it. Dude was an Anglophile. Dude liked the whole blonde hair, blue eyes shit, okay? We fucking, like, Herbert West was described as a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, cold scientist. We understand. We get it. There's enough racial, and talking about miscegenation and shit in his books. We understand. The dude was a fucking racist. Everybody knows. It's an accepted fucking thing. We get it. We get it, man. It's not that important that you have to fucking bring this up every time you fucking talk about the guy. This is something that bugs the shit out of me whenever somebody discusses H.P. Love. Like, that's honestly, that's a good, at this point in the game, this far down the fucking road, if you find somebody who is discussing H.P. Lovecraft, and instead of talking about the things that he did with his stories, or the predictions he made, like cryogenesis, or cryogenic freezing and things like that, or surgery to remove bodily organs or brains, or or just the concept of horror that he unleashed upon the world, or certain literary tropes that he used or invented or shit. If you can't talk about all of that amazing shit that the guy did without going, well, you know, he was also a racist, so, you know, you can't see what I'm doing here, but I'm like, I've got one pointer finger extended and I'm shaving it with the other pointer finger, you know, like, you know, for shame. You know, for shame, H.P. Lovecraft, you did all of this wonderful stuff for the horror and sci-fi genre and even the fantasy genre at certain points, but you didn't like black people, so... If you have to devolve into that shit just to... I don't know why people fucking do it. Is it to appease social justice warriors? Is that why they fucking do it? Is that it? Because you don't have to do that shit. You don't have to appease those people. That's blood in the fucking water for them. They're just going to attack you harder because you capitulated. If that's your fucking reason, then stop. Or, you know, if you're actually concerned about the racism in his stories, then get over it. Get over it. They were written 100 fucking years ago. Times were different. Dude was, if nothing else, a product of his era. He was a lonely, reclusive shut-in who didn't like brown people. But at this stage in the game, we all fucking know that. So if you find somebody who is discussing H.P. Lovecraft, and that's the first thing they jump to, is that, oh, we have to criticize him for his racism and his misogyny. That's a good measurement of, you know, okay, these guys really aren't worth their salt. Unless you get further in and they actually do start, like the guys that I give the guys at the SFF audio podcast a pass on this, because they actually do, like, they do that in the first 2 minutes and then they don't fucking bring it up ever again. And the rest of the conversation is really interesting talk about what Lovecraft did and how his stories affected them, and just, it's really interesting talk about H.P. Lovecraft and his stories. So I give them a pass, because it's like a fucking hour-long podcast. They spend 2 minutes talking about how he was racist, and then they move on to the interesting shit. It's like this perfunctory thing. And they need to stop doing it. They just need to stop fucking bringing it up, because every podcast I've listened to them where they've discussed H.P. Lovecraft, it follows that exact same fucking pattern. They talk about how he was a horrible person for like 2 minutes, and then they get on to how much they fucking love him anyway. We don't have to fucking apologize for liking people like that. Like, yeah, Wernher von Braun was a Nazi, okay? Without him, we wouldn't have reached the fucking moon, all right? You don't have to talk about his contribution to aerodynamics and rocket science within the context of his Nazism. If you just want to talk about his accomplishments, it's like, well, he did this, 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 and this. And someone's like, well, yeah, but wasn't that under the Nazi regime? Yeah, and then we snapped him and every single other fucking kraut scientist that we fucking could and got them into our space program. So is the American government horrible for snatching up ex-Nazi scientists to get us to the moon? It's like, how deep do you want to, how badly does this affect your fucking brain that you have to spend that much time on this bullshit? This petty, stupid bullshit. And yeah, racism is a fucking horrible thing, gang. I'm not sitting here and saying that it's okay to be racist. It's not, all right? You're stupid, you're backward, you're all kinds of terrible things if you're a racist. But that doesn't mean that we can't set aside people's racism and look at the actual contributions they made to humanity, just in the light of their contributions to humanity. You get what I'm saying here? You can separate the man and his work. And sometimes it's kind of difficult, as in the case of, like, the rats in the walls with H.P. Lovecraft. I mean, the fucking cat is named Nigger Man. That's really tough to fucking get around. There's not always a clear distinction between the man and his work. You know, an easier example would be someone like Doug TenNapel. Doug TenNapel is a hardcore conservative Christian. Like, marriage equals one man, one woman kind of conservative Christian. He uses Christian allegories in his stories all the fucking time. But the vast majority of his work, all of the work of his that I've read or played or whatever, has never had an explicit religious message. It's never been a come-to-Jesus moment in a Doug TenNapel game or a Doug TenNapel comic. You know, maybe there was one, but I've read, like, Bad Island and, you know, I've played a couple of the Earthworm Jim games and Armacrog and the Skull Monkeys games, and there's never been this come to Jesus moment, like, my religion is better than whatever backward shit you believe in, so you should believe like me. That never fucking happens. His work stands alone apart from the man. You know, so you can disagree with the guy's politics all you like, and you don't have to monetarily support the guy. Fucking pirate the game for all I fucking care. But don't criticize the game, don't criticize the piece of art for what the man did. It's like looking at a Van Gogh painting and being like, well, Van Gogh was an alcoholic. It's like, well, what the fuck does that have to do with this picture of a sunflower? What's the correlation here between this? Like, what's the correlation between H.P. Lovecraft's racism and the horror that he's able to evoke with his stories? And, you know, sometimes it preys on our innate tribalism. I guess you could go this route with it. It preys on our innate tribalism, our fear of what is different, by painting different things in as horrible a light as fucking possible. And if you want to bring it up in that fashion, then it's cool. But don't just talk about how fucking bad of a person he is because he was a racist. We all know racism is bad. This is commonly accepted over here in America. You know, in the civilizations, in the countries where it is common to do literary analysis, we all know that racism is bad. You don't have to spend half the fucking class lecturing us about how racism is bad and then get into, you know, you don't have to poison the well like that and then get into what, you know, awesome things the guy did in spite of his racism. I don't fucking know, gang. That shit just really fucking bothers. Like, we know. We all fucking know. Why are you wasting my time with this bullshit? I tuned in to hear you guys have an interesting discussion about H.P. Lovecraft, not talk about how he is a racist, misogynist, horrible piece of shit. Okay? Sorry, I'm sorry that this seems kind of rambly, guys, but it's fucking Friday. I didn't have time to record last night. I had absolutely nothing prepared. I have not been keeping my little booklet on me. I'm going to start doing that again. Just toss that over there so I can put it in my fucking pocket when I take it to work and actually write down podcast topics so that we don't have one of these rambly messes again. So another thing that I wanted to talk about, and I'm going to just say full disclosure, I am trying to, this is the book that I was telling you all about earlier that I refused to name until this point. Full disclosure, the author and I follow each other on Twitter, and I offered to do the audiobook for him. And I really, really, really fucking want the job. Not just because of the money. Like, the money is a side thing with this book. Because it's so fucking good, and I can hear... I've got voices worked out for all the characters that I would love to sit down and talk with the guy with. Like, just get into a Skype call with him, and just sit there and be like, okay, so this is how I imagine Teg sounding. Or this is how I imagine Jaren sounding. Or, you know, this is... Is it Stockman or Stotchman? You know? Really getting all... Because... Okay, look. All of that aside, before I get too far down the audiobook producer primrose path of insane fanboyishness, the book is called Netherial. Netherial. Okay? Netherial. There will be a link to it in the show notes, in the description, if you're watching this on YouTube. Go buy it. This is the best book, period, I have read this year. Okay? Barring classics. I'm talking about newer literature here. You know, it captivates me just as much as Fofford and the Grey Mouser. You know, it really fucking reached out and grabbed me, man. And I haven't had a book printed in recent memory, let's say like the last 10 years. You know, I haven't had a book printed in that time reach out and just fucking grab me around the throat like this one did. It just, like, leapt out of my fucking Kindle and jacked me up against the fucking wall, and it was like, we're gonna be here for a while. This is the one that I'm pissed off that there's not an audiobook for, because I want to finish the book. I really want to finish the fucking book, guys. It's just so good. It has devoured all of my very small amount of spare time. It's all gone to this. Like, when I'm... This might be getting a little bit too deep, but when I'm in the bathroom, that's what I'm fucking reading. When I'm walking to the kitchen to get something to eat, I'm tripping over shit because I've got my Kindle glued to my fucking face, and I'm just reading this book. It is completely fucking consumed all of my spare time. Like, I get a few fucking minutes at work where I get to sit down and not and not have to do anything. I pull out my fucking Kindle and I start fucking reading. This is the best book I have read in a long fucking time, and you should all go buy it. And I'm not just saying that because I want the fucking audiobook job. You know, you guys know me. I give you the straight fucking dope about the books I read. I mean, I do kind of play them up because I want people to buy them. But at the same time, I'm not gonna fucking lie to you guys about what the contents of the book are, you know, or how good the writing is. The only problem that I have with this book, and this is like the smallest of tiniest of flea on a flea, angels dancing on the head of a pin-sized nitpicks, is that occasionally, once every 50 pages, there'll be a typo. And that's it. That's it. That's the only fucking problem that I can find with this fucking book, is that occasionally there's a fucking typo. The characters are fucking awesome. They all have distinct voices and mannerisms and ways of thinking about situations. The setting is fucking incredible. It's basically, it's space pirates in hell. That's pretty much what it is. Like, it starts out and these space pirates are on the run and the government is about to just wipe them the fuck out. And it's got this guild thing, which is a bit like the Spacers Guild from Dune, in that they kind of own all of the space traffic. Like, you can't really get around interplanetarily or interstellar travel without the guild. And he brought back the concept of the ether. Like, you remember back in like the 1900s and the early 20th century. No, I'm sorry. The 1900s, the early 1900s, where they would speculate that there was this ether out there that was basically what the rest of the universe was made of. Like, they knew there was solid matter. And I'm probably explaining this horribly because I'm not a scientist. I haven't delved into this. I'm not a scholar of the history of science, but I know enough to sound like a jackass on my podcast trying to explain it to people. But they thought that the rest of the universe was made up. Like, now they think it's dark matter. Back then, they thought it was ether. So he brought that back. And it's a bit of a call to Warhammer 40K. If you're familiar with, like, the warp, then the ether is basically what the warp is for 40K. It's how they do faster-than-light travel in Netherial, in the Soul Cycle universe. Only the ether doesn't have demons running around in it. Not ostensibly. Anyway, but the book starts out and they're trying to mount a resistance against the guild and the government and shit like that. And the main captain of the space pirates is a little bit like Mal from Firefly. I can kind of see a resemblance there, but he's basically trying to overthrow the guild and the government. That's his plan. He's going to draw all of these pirates to him and then start a war. And he just gets his shit pushed in. Again and again and again. Like, there's three or four times where the government just, like, they just beat the fuck out of him. And they just seem to be one step ahead of him the whole fucking time. So eventually he hooks up with these people who are doing this secret project outside of the purview of the government and the guild, where they're making a new ship called the Exodus. And if you don't get the symbolism there, then I'm not going to explain it to you now. But The Exodus is built on plans from the main character's father. Like, the guy designed the ship, and then he died because the guy is part of... He's a half-human, half-gen. At least I think it's gen. It might be gen. You know, like the GIF controversy. By the way, it's GIF. It's GIF. It's graphic interchange format. It is fucking GIF. I don't care what the creator of the fucking thing has said. It is GIF. He is wrong. But it might be Gen or Gen. It's G-E-N. So, however the fuck you want to pronounce that. But I pronounce it Gen. You know, like genetics or whatever. That's what it puts me in mind of. But they're this alien race that are extraordinarily long-lived. They're not exactly space elves. They're not like, mentioned in the same... They're not the Eldar, essentially. They're not the Eldar. They're just this ancient race that the humans basically wiped out. And this guy is the last one, and he's only half a one. So he hooks up with these people who are using his father's plans, and then they get on this ship and a battle happens and they have to try to escape the battle in this ship and they wind up traveling into hell. And the rest, it's all downhill from there, fam. It's all downhill from there. It's fucking amazing writing. I love this thing. This is like, this really is Dune. Like, I really haven't had a book reach out and grab me like this since I read, like, Dune or The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy or the first time I read H.P. Lovecraft or now I'm reading, like, the Fofford and the Grey Mauser books by Fritz Leiber. This is on par with those guys. I mean, it's obviously coming from a modern perspective, right? Like, there's certain quirks of language and shit like that the old masters like Robert E. Howard and Fritz Leiber used in their stories that this guy doesn't. And this guy is far more focused on action beats. However, he's also not above getting into theology and philosophy in these books, which makes it very entertaining reading. You know, and of course, all this philosophy and theology takes place in the confines of this universe. He's not really, I mean, he might be trying to make a statement on, you know, real world theology and philosophy and concepts like that. And I could certainly see parallels between them, but I'm kind of a theologian, but I'm not a licensed theologian. I'm just like an autodidact in that regard. I kind of taught myself, so I'm not really qualified to say, but it really does make for interesting reading when two characters, you know, sit down and just get into this deep conversation about, you know, what the gods are or how the ether or the collective mind of the universe integrates into their perception of the world. It's amazing. It's great, brilliant stuff. And I'm not just hopping on this guy's dick because I want the fucking audiobook job. I do. But this is just, this goes beyond the fucking audiobook. Like, this needs to be in audio. It needs to be in audio. Even if the guy doesn't pick me, he needs to get this in fucking audio. This is too good to just be in print. Like, this needs a fucking audio adaptation. I'm pretty sure it has print. I can't fucking type because my goddamn keyboard has shat out on me. I'm gonna have to go pick up another one after work tomorrow. But but this needs an audio adaptation. If it's not in print, it needs a print adaptation. I'm pretty sure it's in print. It needs a fucking TV show. It needs movies. It needs an animated series. This is just too badass to let go. Like, this is better than Star Wars, gang. I'm not even kind of fucking with you. This is better than Star Wars. And I've been a Star Wars nerd since I could fucking watch movies and understand what was going on. Like, some of my first memories of watching movies are the Star Wars movies. This is better than that. This is going to be Star Wars. This is going to be Dune for the next generation. Like, for the past week that I've been fucking reading this book, I haven't been able to figure out why this thing isn't the most popular science fiction novel on the face of the fucking planet right now. Like, how are you guys not reading this? How have you not heard of this yet? And I know that it's, like, really obscure, and I'm acting kind of hipsterish, but it's that fucking good. It's that fucking good. You guys need to go and read it. Like, the Kindle version is not expensive, gang. It's not expensive. It's, like, $5. It's like $5. Go buy it. I think you can get both books for $8 on Kindle. There's two books out, and he's coming out with a third one, I think, by the end of the year. So it's a trilogy. The third one's coming out soon. You can get the first two for fucking $8 on Kindle. Go buy it! Go buy it! Even if you don't have a Kindle, Kindle has a fucking smartphone app. Get your fucking Amazon account, go over there and buy this shit and download it to your phone and start getting absorbed in this shit because you will not be able to put this shit down. I swear to God you won't. So, Brian, there you go. That's my plug. Not only do these books have the Jim Fear seal of approval, these have the Jim Fear seal of go read this right the fuck now. And I mean, I know you could argue that my tastes aren't all that discerning. And they're not. They're not. I freely fucking admit that. I'm not the most discerning person when it comes to fiction. I just want to be fucking entertained. I just want to have fun while I'm reading. Or while I'm watching this movie. I like the Star Wars prequels. It took me a long time to come around to that, but I can sit down and watch the Star Wars prequels and be entertained by them and just put all of my little, like, all that part of my brain that's just like, I can just pull that out and put it in its own little box and let it freak the fuck out. And I can watch the fucking movies and then give that thing time to cool down and then pick it up and put it back inside my head. And boom, I just had a nice movie experience. So I'm not the most discerning guy when it comes to entertainment. I really just want to be entertained. Is it entertaining? Then it meets my minimum standard. But these books have gone far and above my minimum standard. Like, this is some of the best science fiction literature I've ever read in my life. And I've read a lot. Like, this is right up there with Heinlein and Philip K. Dick and Isaac Asimov and just, like, I could name drop all fucking day. This is good shit, fam. And it needs to be the most popular science fiction novel ever. Ever. Period. The end. It's that fucking good. It has reached out and grabbed me that fucking hard. Like, this book has been gorilla fucking my brain since I read the first chapter, and I never want it to stop. By the way, Brian, if you want to pull out any of these one-liners and put them as blurbs, go for it. You ain't got to pay me a fucking penny. It would do my fucking heart good to see that on a book. Just It really is that good, fam. It really is that good. So if you're looking for something banging to distract you from what's been going on in the world, like I know fucking Israel's on fire right now and people are worried about Trump's presidency and, you know, Germany and France are completely gone down the fucking shitter and America's not doing all that great either. Go read this book. Go read this book and you will get your fucking escapism. It's so fucking good, guys. I can't keep saying it. I've run out of adjectives. I've run out of descriptive phrases to talk about how fucking great this book is. So, and yes, I did tell the guy that I was going to be plugging this book in my podcast, but I did it because I want to. He didn't ask me to do this. He didn't ask me to gush over it. He didn't put any fucking words in my mouth. I am trying to get the audiobook gig because I want the fucking audiobook gig. But just put that aside. Just like how I can set aside H.P. Lovecraft's racism and just enjoy his stories, I can set aside my want for the gig to make this audiobook happen. And just put that aside, put it in its own little box, and I can pick it up later. This book is really fucking good, gang. So I'm gonna stop talking in circles. Go buy the fucking thing. Go buy it. Go buy it. You have no excuse. You have no excuse. The book by itself is like $4, maybe $5. You could get both of these books for $8. What the fuck are you doing not buying these books and reading them voraciously and congratulating the author? Just go onto Twitter and just jerk him off. It's Brian Niemeyer, or Niemeyer. I'm not really sure how to pronounce his last name. I'm pretty sure it's Niemeyer, but if I'm pronouncing it wrong, Brian, I'm sorry. I just don't know. I'm kind of an idiot. But it's Brian Niemeyer, the Soul Cycle series, Netherial, and Soul Dancer. Go buy the fucking books, fam. Go buy them. And that's, I'm done. I'm going to stop gushing. It's just, you guys get the fucking picture at this point. Go buy it. All right. Let's see if we can find something on, maybe on Twitter to, fill out the last few minutes of this here podcast. One thing that I would like to say to Audible, stop having sales. Stop doing it. You're keeping me poor. they had the fucking Black Friday sale, and there were a couple of but there were like three books there. It's like I wound up paying like $20, but still, like, it seems like every other week fucking Audible has a sale and there's something in my wish list that's on sale because I had to be a fucking moron and put like 150 books on my wish list that I wanted to listen to. And of course, just about every time they have a sale, one of the books that's on my wish list is inevitably going to be there. So
Well, I could get it for $5 now instead of just delaying gratification. And, I mean, I'm not even going to be able to listen to this book for the next 6 months, but I'll have it. I'll fucking have it.
Exactly the kind of shit that I give my fucking family shit about. It's like, you know, they go to, like, I used to have this argument with my mom and my grandmother. Just, like, they would go to Walmart or whatever, and there would be something that you just don't need that's on sale, you know, and they would buy a fucking million of them. They would spend, like, $40 on this thing that's on sale because it was on sale, and, oh, we're saving so much money. But you're not saving money if you are buying all of this shit that you don't need. And this is the problem that I'm having with fucking audiobooks. It's just, like, I'm a story collector. That's what I do. That's my fucking hobby. I collect comics, video games, music, movies, TV shows, novels, short story collections, all of that shit. I collect stories. That's what I fucking do. And it's the same problem. I'm having the same problem that I had with my fucking actual book library that I'm having with my Audible and my Kindle library. I just, like, oh, there's a sale on, and this book is, like, $2. And I could buy this book right now, and then I'll fucking have it, and I'll be able to read it fucking never, because I never have time to read anymore. Oh, God, I'm so pathetic. I never have time to read, guys. I fucking hate it, because I've got a bunch of books on my Kindle. Like, I've got a biography of Winston Churchill that I've had for, like, 8 months now. And I really fucking want to read this biography because Winston Churchill is one of the most interesting figures in World War II history. Or just history in fucking general. And I don't have fucking time to read it. Especially with all the Appendix N stuff that I've been trying to get into. And then I just had, I just got into Jack Vance, right? And I asked Kirsova on Twitter about, you know, well, what should I get into with Jack Vance? Like, give me a good book to start me off. And they were like, you know, all right, well, you know, here's like 1500 tweets in 5 minutes. And I put my shit down. Like, I asked him and I sent the tweet, and then I put my phone in my fucking pocket and I went back to work and I worked for like 20 minutes. And then I came back and my notifications were like, you have 40 messages. It wasn't quite that bad. It wasn't quite that bad, but it was still pretty fucking crazy. But he mentioned one book called The Gray Prince. And you cannot fucking find this book. Well, you can find it, but you're going to be paying almost damn near an arm and a leg for it. You know, it's just in print. That's it. There's no ebook on Kindle. There's no audiobook on Audible. You know, I could try searching the internets, but, you know, my fucking keyboard doesn't want to work. But basically, like, it was the inspiration for the Dunmer in Morrowind. That's what he said. He's like, it inspired the Dunmer in Morrowind. And I was like, that's the fucking book I want to read. That's it. That's me. I'm done. You ain't got to say nothing else, fam. You ain't got to say nothing else. Hand to God, that's the one for me. I fucking love Morrowind. I got lost in that fucking game when I was a kid. You know, I just, yeah, you're good. You don't have to say anything. I'll go get that one. And then I asked Bucket to look at it, because I noticed that there wasn't any electronic versions of this book out there. So I was like, well, Bucket, do me a favor, because he knows how to do this much better than I do. I'm going to have to get him to divulge his secrets one day. But I was like, check on the fucking copyright for this, because if there's not an audio version, then I'll just take the book that I fucking get, because it's out of print, and do an audiobook version of it. But no, of course not. It's fucking still under copyright. Because of fucking course it is. Because my dreams always have to be fucking crushed by copyright law. Fuck you, copyright law. But I started reading, listening to Planet of Adventure, which is like, they have the 4-book anthology up on Audible. So I picked that up. It was like, I don't know, it was like $20. But yeah, it's been really good so far. Like, within the first chapter, They go to this planet, and it's Earthmen, and, you know, they're on a space exploration, and they find this planet, and within the prologue and the first chapter, the guy's entire fucking team dies. Everybody's dead except this guy. And that shit happened, and I was like, I know I'm in for a ride right fucking now. This is gonna be cool. So I had to order a physical copy of The Gray Prince. So hopefully I'll be getting that here in, I don't know, a week or so. And I'll be able to fucking read that. But it's just still, I just don't have fucking time to read. Like, between work and work and work and sleep. Because, you know, I got the fucking day job, and then I got the fucking podcast, this podcast, and then I've got the audiobook work, and then I've got Dimension Bucket Magazine. Everything's just been fucked. I have no free time. Like, my free time for reading consists of when I'm in the bathroom taking a shit. That's it. That's about the only free time I have for reading. Unless I specifically avoid my responsibilities, like I've been doing for Netherial. and just read it. Because I fucking feel like reading this book. I have to avoid my responsibilities and hide under the fucking covers. But, alright, guys. I think that's the podcast. I gotta try and get this thing fucking edited, so I'm gonna have to go and get a new goddamn keyboard, because mine has apparently completely 100% shat the bed, which I'm shocked it's lasted this long, with all the fucking abuse that I put it through, and all of the alcoholic beverages that I've spilt into it. I'm shocked it has lasted as long as it has. So, yeah. That's the podcast. I hope that you guys had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I hope that your Thanksgiving dinners were not marred by stupid political discussions. Because, you know, honestly, like, that's not the fucking point, guys. Like, I understand that this shit is fun to talk about. But if you're just fighting, like, the most important people in your lives are your family and your family of friends. So, if you can avoid these political discussions and contentious shit and just enjoy their company. Like, what, if you like football, watch some fucking football. Like, me and my dad came down, we had a couple of political discussions because we mostly agree on just about every fucking thing. And then we made a pork roast and got drunk and watched Mythbusters. It was awesome. Best Thanksgiving in the past 15 years. Amazing. So just, like, avoid this shit and try to enjoy the finite time that you have with the people that you love, okay? That's my, you know, post-Thanksgiving message to everybody. Just keep it in mind for next year. Just, you know, no matter what happens, you love your family. You're supposed to want to spend time with your family and your friends. And don't let this petty political divisive bullshit get in the way of that. You love these people. They love you. There's no reason to try to drive each other apart or drive them away because they don't agree with your stupid fucking political thing. And that goes for my stupid fucking political thing. So just be excellent to each other. You know, wise words from Bill and Ted. But all right, guys. All right, I will catch you in the next episode. Hopefully I'll have some more interesting shit to talk about next week. Hopefully it'll be more structured and less rambly. But I feel like this one went marginally okay. But yeah, so in closing, I love you guys very much. I hope that you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. You know, I hope that your December goes okay. Calm down, be excellent to each other. And go buy Netherial. Go buy it. Go buy it. And when I put out the audiobook, go buy that. I'm just fucking joking around. Like, the guy might not even choose me, and it's fine if he doesn't. I don't care. I just want there to be an audio version of this book so that people like me can listen to it at work instead of having to lug my Kindle around every time I have to go to the crapper. TMI, Jim, TMI. Okay. All right. So y'all have a lovely weekend. I hope your next week goes well. I hope y'all got some cool deals for Black Friday. I know I did. Fuck you, Audible. You bastards. You're just digging your fucking hand into my pocket. But, yeah, that's it. Peace out, guys. Mwah.